Thank you, Mr. Rader. Any further proponents? Are there any further proponents of House Bill 1079? If not, we'll move to opponents. Are there any opponents? Are there any opponents to House Bill 1079? Seeing none, we'll waive the rebuttal and we'll open it up for committee questions. Yes, Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a question for the gentleman from the pharmacist group. Yes, sir. Just to satisfy my own curiosity here, you mentioned a nasal spray. How effective is that in comparison with other possible attempts to deal with this?
Mr. Chair, Bob Ryder again. I was sitting back talking to Sue Schaefer, who is the the association executive. She mentioned it. I think she would probably be a better person to respond, but the way she explained it to me was that it is equally effective and it will do what needs to be done to assist the person. If you have a more an in-depth question, I suppose you might want to ask her.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'm calling a friend.
Any other questions?
No further questions.
Chairman?
Yes. Representative Haugard.
Yes, thank you. This would be for the doctor. I'm sorry, I missed his name. And he stepped out? Okay. Mr. Croman, maybe you can answer the question.
I do that doctor stuff all the time.
Yeah, I know. I'm assuming somebody in this group understands what the quantity involved would be, the danger of accidental death by others obtaining the drug in the home, and how it's disposed of if it's not used. I'm assuming it's a small quantity, but maybe you can tell me, maybe you can't.
Yeah, and I, Mr. Chairman, Dean Krogman, represent SDSMA. I really can't answer that. Daniel, did you hear the question, and can you help out with this?
I did hear the question, and thank you, Representative, for that question. Naloxone in any form, naloxone hydrochloride, whether it is administered as a nasal spray, intramuscularly, or through an auto-injector, and that's also an intramuscular, largely an intramuscular administration, has no effect on the human body unless there are opioids in the system. It is a completely safe medication. If it is used, it has been proven to be, effective in the community with very limited training. Pharmacists and, family practice physicians have, report that it takes maybe 5 or 10 minutes to train somebody in the effective use of naloxone.
Follow up.
Thank you. Follow up.
And when we speak about this drug, Narcan, is it Narcan, naloxone, and naltrexone? Are those the three, and are they the same drug?
Go ahead, Mr. Blaney. Cohen?
Sure. Narcan was the brand name of naloxone approximately 40 years ago. Naloxone is the generic name for that. There are several manufacturers of a naloxone product. Naltrexone is a different product that I believe that the gentleman from the Substance Abuse Directors Association probably have a little bit more information about, but that is naltrexone is more of a follow-up treatment for somebody with a substance use disorder. I hope that answers the question.
Thank you. Any other further committee questions? Yes, Representative Soley.
Thank you. And this will be for the gentleman on the phone.
Okay. Mr. Blaney Cohen.
Okay. It's been mentioned that this law exists in other states. I'd like to, and that lives have been saved. Could you tell us who these family members or the people who have been have this drug and have administered it? Who uses it the most? Where is this effective? Which relationships with the patient in what settings?
Okay, Mr. Blaney Cohen, do you wish to answer that question?
Sure. Thank you, Representative Sully. Thank you for this. It's an excellent question. In the setting, this drug has proven effective in every setting. The most common application of this drug has been from friends or friends in the community. There have been increasing numbers of family members who have saved a son or a daughter or a brother or a sister, because many of these third-party possession laws that South Dakota is considering are only new within the last 2 years. So the data in terms of the numbers of people who have saved lives is more limited. However, as you can imagine, when a life is saved with one of these new laws, because of one of these new laws, the newspaper often reports on this. The other main application is that police officers, paramedics, emergency responders, and other first responders throughout the country, by having these medications in their squad cars, in their fire engines, are increasingly saving lives because they're often the first persons on the scene. So in every setting where this medication is available, lives are being saved.
Thank you. Any further questions? Okay, seeing none, we will close this portion of public testimony and open it up for committee discussion and or action. Representative Munsterman.
I have an amendment that's being distributed right now.
Okay. We'll wait to get that. It's been distributed. Is there a second to that?
Second
by Consett.
I'll move the amendment as soon as I see the title.
Okay.
Amendment 1079RA would move.
Okay. It's been moved by Representative Munsterman for the amendment 1079RA and seconded by Representative Consett. Is there any discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We really don't have harm reduction organizations in South Dakota, and this was really modeled after other states, as you've heard the testimony provide. And so what we'd like to do at this point is just amend it to remove that language at this point. And if at some point in time we have those types of organizations in the state, then we can certainly put it back in. So I would ask you to support the amendment.
Is there any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, we will proceed to vote. It'll be a voice vote. All those in favor?
Yes.
Sure. Yes. Representative Haugard. Okay. Any other questions or discussions on the motion to amend? Okay. If not, the motion to amend House Bill 1079 with 1079RA. Is there anyone that would wish me to read the motion? If not, this will be a voice vote. We'll proceed to vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Motion carries. We'll proceed now to discuss 1079RA. As amended. Any discussion? Representative Sly.
I move House Bill 1079 as amended.
Okay.
Do pass.
Do pass. Okay. There's been a motion do pass on amended House Bill 1079RA, and there's been a second by Representative Consett. Any discussion? Yeah, Representative Haugard.
Yeah, I would. It would have been great if we'd had a little bit more information. I'm assuming that they're going to prescribe this in small quantities, and I'm assuming that there's going to be some training about safety and storage of the drug. So I'm assuming a lot about it. I'm also assuming that to say there's absolutely zero effect of this drug on individuals, because it's a neuroreceptor blocking drug. So there's got to be something that has an impact, but it seems like it's a drug that probably overrides the concerns, so I think it's wise to support it. But, again, those are issues I think that would be good to discuss on the House floor probably and to clarify those concerns. I also think if this is going to be prescribed to someone, that maybe there needs to be a follow-up bill at some point that would indicate that if this drug is actually used or given to an individual, that that person then maybe is required to submit to some kind of drug evaluation and follow-up treatment. But those are things for the future, so I would support the bill. But like I say, I think those are things we should discuss on the House floor.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Any further discussion? The amended House Bill 1079-RA. Seeing none, we will proceed to vote. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Campbell.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Deutsch.
Aye.
DeSanto.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
Holmes.
Aye.
McCleary.
Here.
Sly. Soli. Soli. Woolman.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Munsterman.
Aye.
13 ayes.
House Bill 1079-RA, as amended, do pass, receives a majority of the committee. It, on a vote of 13-0, passes. Sorry. Okay.
All right. Very good. Thank you. And thank you to the vice chair for letting me budge in front of him with my bill. We're going to take up House Bill 1104, which is revise certain provisions regarding the practice of dental hygiene. We will now take pro bono testimony for House Bill 1104. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Leslie Heineman, District 8, Lake, Moody, Minor, and Sanborn County. I have before you House Bill 1104, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the practice of dental hygiene. Thank you for the opportunity. I'll proceed with testimony as to the content of the bill. Some of you have commented that they're expecting me to provide the working understanding of this bill, so that will be my attempt today. House Bill 1104 adds a second method for a dentist supervision of a patient's care when the patient is receiving preventative care by licensed dental hygienists within a professional arrangement called a collaborative supervision. The proposed change is intended to improve access to basic and ongoing preventive dental care for those who would not otherwise have access to oral health care. So, before you is House Bill 1104. We formed a working group this summer. The working group comprised of the Dental Association, dentists, Hygiene Association, hygienists, the Oral Health Coalition of the Dakotas was represented, or Community Health Organizations of the Dakotas was represented, as well as Delta Dental. So we used a working group to come up with some wording that we believed could continue the process of providing care to those areas of the state that are underserved or do not have proper access to oral health. Some of you recall 2 years ago we had a similar concept in front of us, and at that time a working arrangement was made to provide Delta Dental, who had received a CMS grant at the time, to continue on with their care, in particular in the reservations, the 9 reservations of the state. And as a result, you'll see why we, when I proceed, you'll see why we have struck that from our code in the bill. And basically, there's 2 points that I want you to understand. First of all, it adds a new term, oral health review, and that that actually is in our code book. I believe there are 9 or 10 states that recognize that dental code. Some states do not. But that defines the term as a limited assessment of a person's oral health through a dentist review of dental and medical history following a limited clinical inspection by a dental hygienist working under collaborative supervision. Again, this is taken from our CDT code book. This was a way to allow the hygienist to continue to provide care through a collaborative agreement with the dentist. This additional option would make the special exemption in law for Delta Dental's work with the tribes and Indian Health unnecessary. As you can see, which moves to our second point, and that is it eliminates the wording in Section 2, which is the Delta, as we would call it, the Delta exception that we came to an agreement with 2 years ago. Now, you might ask, what is collaborative supervision? It's a written agreement that provides preventative and therapeutic care for oral health, and licensed hygienists are allowed to do that presently, and this will allow that process to continue under limited access areas under a dentist supervision. I think I will end it at that. There's others that would like to testify. I'll stand by for questions if you have any. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1104. Proponent testimony. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Paul Connect. I'm the executive director for the South Dakota Dental Association, and I'm also a registered lobbyist for that group. As I was listening to Dr. Heineman's testimony, I was crossing things off so I don't duplicate so much of what he said. He did a good job of getting you briefed on this. I might just give you a little bit more background so that you understand what we're all trying to accomplish with the bill, and I will be brief, Mr. Chairman. So there are several levels of supervision of a dentist regarding a hygienist. Collaborative supervision is the only level in which the hygienist will actually be providing care to the patient prior to an examination of that patient by the dentist. And that's a law that we put in place with the legislature's help back in 2011. And as Dr. Heineman said, the hygienist in that case has to have a special registration. There has to be a written agreement between the dentist and the hygienist. The agreement spells out the duties. There's limited sites where the hygienist can practice under collaborative supervision. And there's the stipulation that the hygienist can provide care to the patient for up to 13 months, at which point a comprehensive exam has to happen. So 2 years ago, we made an exception to that requirement so that Delta could conduct their pilot program, which I think we would all agree was successful. And so as a result of that, the task force was formed that Dr. Heineman was talking about, because we knew this would sunset, you know, coming up this summer. So the task force got together and came up with this recommendation. We think it's very workable because it keeps the dentist involved and knowledgeable about that patient's care, but it doesn't provide barriers to those patients who have issues with regard to mobility and distance, that if the patient's oral health is all right in the determination of the dentist, that preventive care could continue to happen until such point as the hygienist and the dentist agree that now that patient either needs to come in or can continue with their preventive care. Dr. Heineman mentioned the four organizations that were part of the coalition. We enjoyed working with them this summer, and all four of those support, and some of those organizations will be here to testify today. I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1104. Proponent testimony. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Paul Bichand on behalf of the Dental Hygienists Association. I really don't think there's much I need to add with the fine sponsor of the bill and Mr. Connect. So I'll just simply add, we support this bill. It makes sense. We appreciate the ability to work in this collaborative effort this last summer with the task force. And this makes sense to provide those services in consultation with the dentist in those areas that are not being served across the state. We support the bill. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1104. Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Mike Mueller. I'm the communications manager for Delta Dental of South Dakota and also a registered lobbyist for Delta Dental of South Dakota. I'll give a little more background on the exemption that we had, or exception we had in law, and the good that can come of that work, especially in our remote rural areas of the state, and why we would support going forward with 1104. As I'm sure most of you are aware, Delta Dental provides dental benefit programs for employers and individuals. But as a nonprofit company, we also invest in programs and projects to benefit oral health and general health of all South Dakotans. Most visibly, our dental clinic trucks that travel the state treating kids. Well, for the last 3 years, Delta Dental Hygienists have provided preventive care to young children on the state's 9 reservations as part of an innovative grant project that we had received through the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid. Our staff, based on the reservations, provided clinical services like cleanings, fluoride varnish, and application of dental sealants. They also provided oral health education in schools, Head Start facilities, and other community programs and facilities. All of them were referred to a dentist, and in cases where the child had an urgent dental need, our staff would help those families keep and attend those dental appointments for further restorative care. In all, the program held 168 clinics and served 7,810 children on the reservations. All of that work, preventive work, had a significant impact on oral health for children on the reservations. There was a 64% increase in the percentage of kids who had a dental visit, a 76% increase in the percentage of kids who had a fluoride varnish, 79% increase in the percentage of kids who had dental cleanings, and we more than doubled the percentage of kids that had dental sealants applied. All the time, that expanding that preventative care available on the reservations reduced resulted in a 27% decrease in per-patient Medicaid dental costs. So we were able to affect positive change in the oral health of kids on our Native American reservations. All of that work by our hygienists was done under collaborative supervision agreements. However, as Mr. Connect pointed out, under normal collaborative supervision agreements in current law, those children would have needed to see a dentist for a complete evaluation every 13 months. What we found in operating that grant program is that it really limited our ability to do ongoing care because of many and significant barriers to accessing a dentist on the reservation. There simply is a shortage of dentists, and when you combine that with the rural remote areas, as well as a family's difficulties in finances and transportation, it really became a very significant barrier to continuing care for those children. So 2 years ago, the legislature passed that special Delta exception for our work on the reservation so we can continue that ongoing care, at least until the grant was finished. Well, the grant funding has ended, and our special exception ends in June 30th of this year. So we appreciate the opportunity that the legislature has given us to make that program a success and improve oral health care for kids on the reservations. Now, because that program had such a positive impact on oral care for kids, Delta Dental has decided to continue that program on our own, and we will continue the program with funding from our own foundation. So finding a more permanent solution and working with the dentists and the hygienists and the Oral Healthcare Coalition, we came up with this more permanent plan that we think will allow us to continue providing ongoing care to kids on the reservations in the most effective manner possible. So we would certainly encourage your support of House Bill 1104 so we can continue making an impact for kids and their oral health. Thank you, and I'll stand by for questions.
Very good. Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1104. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, my name is Jennifer Stalling. I'm representing the Community Health Care Association of the Dakotas, which represents the community health centers throughout the state. We, too, were part of the task force that ended in the development of 1104 and would lend our support to the bill. For many of the reasons that Mr. Mueller just discussed with regard to children in remote areas, the community health centers also serve children and adults in some of our more rural areas through collaborative supervision in the dental clinics that we have at Black Hills Community Health, Horizon Health, and Falls Community Health. And so we, too, support the opportunity to use this as a tool to provide additional dental access throughout the state.
Very good. Further proponent testimony to House Bill 1104. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Colleen Winter. I'm the Division Director for Family and Community Health in the Department of Health, and we are here as well to support Senate Bill 1104, House Bill, my apologies. Good oral health contributes to an individual's overall general health and, as a result, contributes to the overall public health of our citizens in South Dakota. We support this bill to increase access to preventive services, particularly as an opportunity to reach some of our most vulnerable and disparate populations. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on the bill today.
Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1104? Is there further proponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll move on to opponent testimony for House Bill 1104. Is there opponent testimony today on 1104? Seeing none, we will move into committee questions. Any questions from the committee? Representative Deutsch.
Thank you. For Representative Heineman. Mr. Chair. Just curious about, should this bill be approved, what might be potential clinical issues that dentists would need to worry about? Are there potential issues, complications, et cetera, that would come up?
Mr. Chair, thank you for that question. This program, if you will, has been ongoing actually through the last year of the CMS grant, and then the Delta has been running this program for roughly 7 months right now, 6 months. And they have addressed some concerns that we have and from the dentist's point of view, and I think that's been very appropriate. You know, we've encouraged more hands-on, if you will, but again, they testified that the issue of demographics is not an easy one. Where these hygienists, collaborative hygienists, are working, there isn't always access to a dentist. So we've encouraged the development of the model that the dentist would be involved in a regular basis, either through email or through the telephone. And I think they've addressed some of those concerns that our association has had. So I guess the track record, at first, I'll be honest with you, I had some skepticism, but I do believe when we met last summer and evaluated the program and its results, I think that there were many in our community that were encouraged, in particular by the amount of care that was being provided in the western side of the state through especially clinics and the people in the Rapid City area. I think they testified that it was of quite a great value and they wanted to continue on the program. And so I think with that, we have some history on it and I see it's working quite well. Thank you for that question.
Thank you very much. Further committee questions? Representative McCleary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Heidem, maybe you can answer this. Can you just give us a little information on the mobile units? I mean, I'm somewhat familiar maybe what's there. Seen the picture of the one that burned, but was replaced by two new ones, if I read correctly. What are the availabilities of that unit? Is that where all the patients then are worked on or of that nature? Please, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that question. You know, I think there are others in the room that could give you the very nuts and details of nuts and bolts of that question, but I can give you an overall. Yes, we had a mobile dental unit that burned here as probably, it's been a year, almost 6 months, 7 months ago. And they elected, because of the process, they went ahead and got a temporary mobile unit, and they refurbished that. But their intent was to actually purchase two new ones. When I was in the legislature, I think 3 years ago, there actually was a push to maybe consider having the legislature appropriate money, which, you know, is very difficult to do, for adding a third dental unit, mobile unit. So the need is there. To address your exact question, I think there are different programs that you're kind of intermingling here. The mobile dental unit is not part of this requirement, but it can be facilitated in that they can gain access to more patients in the more remote areas of the state. Okay, that being said, what we're passing today, whether or not we pass it today, the dental mobile units will continue to operate. they'll be able to continue to see their patient care because they go to various parts of the state. And most of the time, they have a dentist in the facility. What this will do, it will allow them to see patients outside of that facility or with in conjunction with that mobile unit, that they'll be able to collaborate with a dentist that necessarily isn't in that particular site. Does that answer your question? Okay.
Thank you. Further committee questions? Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is for you, Representative Heineman. I believe you can answer this. What would the potential impact be of Medicaid expansion if that occurs on your program?
Sure. Mm-hmm. The impact of that, I think, again, the mobile dental units have addressed those more remote areas. I think whether that is going to be part of that, I think what you'd probably see is that those units would probably enter into some kind of a contract with the Indian Health Service, because that's the key link here. They would probably have to enter into some kind of a contract with them so that they could facilitate seeing those patients. Without knowing the intricacies of the mobile dental unit, they virtually see anyone regardless of their ability to pay. When they come, when they show up, you know, they don't ask them, you know, can you pay? And if you can't, then we turn you away. That's not their mission. So whether the patient has Medicaid or not is not going to be the determining factor of the care that they're going to receive. Now, having said that, certainly if there is Medicaid expansion, that those population would contribute to the cost that's being involved in delivering that care. You know, there's a debate in my community as to whether that cost is adequate or not. But I'm trying to address your exact question in that, yes, the Medicaid expansion will affect those programs.
Further committee questions? Very good. Seeing none, we'll move into, Representative DeSanto. You look like you were going to pose a question, but
sorry.
I didn't see your hand go up, so I apologize.
No problem. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Representative Heineman. I have had quite a bit of interaction. I lived in Chadron for many years and have had quite a bit of interaction down on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation with various people and programs. I was made aware a couple years ago of a dental program where the people were actually being paid to participate in dental care. When they would come in for a visit, they would receive money for regularly attending. If they missed, they didn't get paid. I'm wondering if that particular program, if you've heard of that program, if you're aware of that program, and if that program would be a part of this.
Mm-hmm. Anecdotally, I have heard of that, but I'm not aware of the specifics. Maybe someone here would.
A lot of heads nodding no.
So I guess I probably wouldn't be able to comment further. That's kind of a double-edged sword, I guess.
Okay. Further committee questions? I'm making my last scan here. Very good. We'll move into committee discussion and or action. Representative Deutsch.
Mr. Chair, move 1104 do pass.
Second.
There's a motion for do pass by Representative Deutsch, seconded by Representative Greenfield. Discussion on that motion, Representative Deutsch.
I just think it's in the best interest of South Dakota that we move forward with it.
Representative Soley, thank you.
Thank you. I had the privilege of being here when we voted on the Delta exception. Is that what we called it? And at that time, I was thrilled to see that there was a way to address these dental health needs, especially on our reservations. And some of you have heard me say that my grandpa was a dentist. Of course, that's ancient history now. But we lived in Granite Falls, Minnesota, which is a reservation community. And he was the dentist, and he served anybody who came to him, including those Native American friends who needed care, whether or not they could pay. Of course, things have changed in 50, 60 years. But I'm very pleased with Delta for finding a way to provide this. I think it's an example, and I didn't know that it actually happened in a summer group. So it's a good example for the rest of us when you put creativity and compassion and all those things together, and a foundation, apparently. And so we can make this important thing happen that helps our public health. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Further discussion on the do-pass motion, Representative Greenfield?
I just wanted to echo what the last speaker said. You know, so many times projects come and go, and they get government grants. When the money runs out, the project is just dropped. But I think Mr. Mueller, by telling us that the foundation is willing to go forward and continue on with this program, I know it sold me, and I believe that you are a credit to your profession, and that's why I'm supporting this.
Very good. Further discussion on House Bill 1104, do pass motion. Seeing none, you have before you a do pass motion, House Bill 1104. Secretary, please call the roll.
Representatives Campbell.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Deutsch.
Aye.
DeSanto.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
Holmes.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Sly excused. Soli.
Aye.
Woman.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Munsterman.
Aye.
12 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 1104 moves to the House floor with the due pass. Very good. We'll move on to House Bill 1123, which is to require the Department of Health to include certain information regarding the inspection of an abortion facility on the department's website. We will now take proponent testimony for House Bill 1123. Good morning. Yep, and you'll have to push the button there. There you go.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Representative Jim Stalzer from District 11 in Sioux Falls. And for those of you who had to put up with listening to me for 4 hours yesterday, I will make this considerably briefer. Basically, we're just asking that information that currently exists, the inspections are already being done, the reports written, and any follow-up information is being handled between the Department of Health and the abortion clinic. So all we're asking really is that this information have some transparency and be available to the public. And the bill basically just says this information should be published on the Department of Health website within 45 days after the inspection is completed. So really should be very little cost to the Department of Health. And we've all seen the clinics at, with Gosnell in Philadelphia and Carpen in Texas, where there have been some atrocious health situations in those clinics and so on. I just believe that it's best for the people of South Dakota if that information is public and that people and the medical community have an opportunity to view it and comment on it if necessary. Thank you. I'll stand by for questions.
Very good. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1123. Proponent testimony. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Dale Barcher, registered lobbyist with the Family Heritage Alliance Action. We rise in support of HB 1023. I'm sure that all of you are very well aware of the Family Heritage Alliance's support of the sanctity of human life. Our support for this bill rises more from our concern that the listing of the results of inspections of abortion facilities may be delayed by the simple fact that no clear guidelines or requirements for timely reporting currently exist. It would seem prudent to us to establish this baseline requirement for the reporting of the results of inspections on the department's website. Further, we believe that the time frame required is more than reasonable at 45 days after the inspection. In addition, where violations or the discovery of conditions or procedures would require corrective action. The public, in particular, patients of the facility, have a clear right to be made aware of the deficiencies discovered and whether required remedial action has been taken. We'd respectfully ask for your support of HB 1023.
1123. Yep.
Excuse me.
We knew what you meant. Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1123. You made me look at the bill number just to make sure I was right. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Debbie Pease with South Dakota Right to Life, and we just concur with what's been said before that our group would support this bill. Thank you.
Very good. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1123. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senator Terry Haverly from District 35. Frankly, I just wanted to get out of appropriations for a moment, so I thought I'd come up here and say hi to you all.
We don't blame you one bit.
I do rise in support of House Bill 1123. I believe that transparency in government is a good thing. Allowing the public to easily access the dates and results of an abortion facility compliance inspections done by our South Dakota Department of Health will assure everyone that our abortion laws already in place will continue to be followed and are followed. Increasing transparency in reporting can help shed lights if there's an existing problem and help prevention of violations from ever occurring. So I urge your support of House Bill 1123.
Very good. Thank you so much. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1123.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman,
morning.
Members of the committee. Linda Schauer, Concerned Women for America Legislative Action Committee. We just want to be on record as supporting HB 1123. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1123. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Travis Benson, lobbyist for the Catholic Diocese of Sioux Falls. We also support this bill and ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1123. Proponent testimony. Seeing none, we'll move on to opponent testimony for House Bill 1123. Is there opponent testimony? Opponent testimony. Seeing none, we will go ahead and move on to committee questions. Any questions? Representative Soley.
Representative Stalzer. Thank you. I wanted to know what the Department of Health has said about this bill and whether or not they support it.
I guess they're at least neutral since they didn't show up today to testify against it. I have not personally discussed it with the Department of Health.
Representative Soley, follow-up?
Follow-up. So there hasn't been any conversation as to whether or not they could comply in the 45-day period?
Again, they're aware of the bill and have made no objection.
Thank you.
Further committee questions? Representative Konzett.
Thank you. I'm not sure if anybody can answer this question, but I'll give it a shot. Currently, are they posting on their website the inspections?
Currently, they are not. It's not being released to the public at this time.
Are other medical facilities that are being inspected, are they being posted? Sorry, Mr. Chair, follow up.
I'm not aware. They're under a different section of law, and I've really only looked into the portion that is involved in this bill.
Follow up.
Finally, so clarify this for me. So it's not being posted, but you're saying you want it within the 45-day period. It has to be posted.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Further committee questions? Representative Cleary.
Representative Stalzer, please. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Getting your exercise this morning.
So there is a present time frame for inspection and dates, or there is not?
Inspections are specified, and I believe it's annually.
Okay, but the main concern here is just...
There is no provision for them to be public.
Okay, that's pretty much the intent of this bill.
Or is it they okay. be... public, and the easiest way is to just put it on their website because it doesn't involve any publishing or cost that way. And
okay. Thank you.
Further committee questions? Representative Soley.
thank you. If I can follow up with another question. Yes, we'll save you the trip. How would somebody go about finding out the results of the inspection now without this law?
I have not personally done it. My assumption would be that one would contact the Department of Health and ask for that information, or ask to be transferred to the person who would have it, and then ask that a copy be sent.
Thank you.
Further committee questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Deutsch.
Move due pass.
Second.
We have a motion by Representative Deutsch for due pass motion 1123, seconded by Representative Konzett. Discussion on that motion? Representative Deutsch.
I think it's a matter of transparency. I don't see this relating to one's position on abortion. It's simply informing the public. And also in response to Representative Soli's question, I have spoken with the Department of Health, and they do not oppose it, and I would just urge due pass.
Further discussion on the motion, due pass motion? Seeing none, you have before you due pass motion on House Bill 1123. Secretary, please call the roll.
Representatives Campbell.
Aye.
Konzett.
Aye.
Deutsch.
Aye.
DeSanto.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
Holmes.
Aye.
McCleary.
No.
Sly excused. Soli.
No.
Woman.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Munsterman.
Aye.
10 ayes, 2 nays, 1 excused.
Very good. House Bill 1123 will move to the House floor with a due pass motion. Recommendation, excuse me. All right. Well, that concludes our calendar for today. We will have a full schedule for Thursday, so be ready to roll up your sleeves and get to work.